Guys, welcome to the first episode of our new hit reality TV show, Keeping It Lou. Starring Lou Ortiz.
I had no
idea. Lou himself.
But it doesn't feel real. It
and just does, Paul and Trey are also here.
Why am I reading a script?
It's like the Andy Griffith Show, but better. There he is. Right on.
All right. Well, I have no idea what is about to happen in this show, but I do know we've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Let's also be honest. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't think Lou even knows what's going to happen on this show.
When you have an abnormal brain. It wasn't just young Frankenstein, you know?
He got brains for two. You know? Or whatever was left over from Frankenstein's monster. That's awesome. Well, hey.
Oh.
We've got Lou here. Lou Ortiz. This is Annie's dad, Annie's father. He's also a truck driver by profession, a music enthusiast, a storytelling machine.
I'm also a musician.
Yes.
He's also a musician. That's right.
I play
That's
percussion.
Right. He crushes percussion the
percussion instruments.
And
percussive.
I feel like any room or party you go into, you just bring it to the next level.
Yep.
You're just like, this party seems fun. What if it was better? That's what you do.
That's really, I had no idea. This is a brand new, it's like a brand new Lou.
Yeah. You're hearing other people talk about you, and you're like, what the?
What? Is that me?
Yeah, we're not supposed to say nice things in front of each other. So.
Oh, maybe.
And that's what you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, when you're not used to stuff like that, you're thinking, it's like the Twilight Zone.
Like, what do you guys want, money or something? Or? And actually, we do. Follow us on Patreon.
A nice contract. I would like a nice contract. Long term.
Just pulling out those green M&Ms, that was just a killer.
I hate those green M&Ms. You notice the colors are different, but the flavor is the same. So why keep it, why not keep it brown? It tastes like brown.
Do you think...
It doesn't taste like red.
Do you think some people think it tastes like different flavors?
Yes, and those people are not my friends. Those are the kind of people you want to, not get to know very well.
That's true. I know for the people not watching, which is probably most people listen to us, which is kind of nice. They don't have to look at us.
But
they're missing something great.
Yes,
here.
They are missing the
full experience.
I always thought, to myself, I always thought that I was the most handsomest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they're missing. No one else thinks that, just me.
And, every morning I look in the mirror, I'm like, that's the most handsome man in the mirror right now.
Yeah, that's we're twins in that sense.
Yeah. So this is going to be a sobering episode.
I understand.
But I will say, I do love the weather here. Even in the summer, it's been very hot, but I still really enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's kind of like a thing people aren't supposed to enjoy down here, but coming from Ohio, this feels amazing. And I'm also a pants guy. Which is surprising
pants?
For down here, but I'm like, I like wearing pants all the time. I only own two pairs of shorts.
Wow.
One's gym shorts, the other one's just regular shorts. I don't count the bathing suits or anything, but...
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's just what I do, and I can't seem to change it.
But what about Trey? What do you think about the warm weather?
What about Trey?
What?
About that?
He's in Georgia. Come on, baby. Georgia.
Hey, we had a nice day today. It's like it was rainy, but it's like 70 degrees right now. It's chill.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
It's not too humid, but no, I remember when I first moved to Florida and like I chose fashion over comfort and I was wearing like sweatshirts and pants like you and middle of August, but it was
Dang.
Worth it. And you get used to it. You get used to it.
Wow. Quick,
that's so. True. That's the one thing I do miss, and I'm sure I'll get back into it. During like January and everything is I do miss the layering that I could do in Ohio, especially during the fall. It's like I really enjoyed wearing layers. Like you've got like a cool like graphic t-shirt underneath and like a nice like flannel on top. It's like it was kind of a fun look and I enjoyed that. I'm sure I'll get to do that again, but yeah.
What I've noticed about me is that I like one piece. So winter comes around.
You're just wearing onesies though. Yeah, my 4-year-old cousin do the same thing.
But that's only summer. That's when it's hot. When in the wintertime, I don't like the winter for a lot of reasons. You know, truck drivers, unless you're a sadist or a masochist, winter is not good for you because there's snow and ice, and you can, you know, either kill yourself or have an accident or something bad, right? Yeah. So I don't like the winters for that reason. I don't like skiing or anything like that. But when it comes to summer, it's easier for me because you're looking at a shorts, T-shirt. You can wear a hat or not wear a hat. Mm. If it's too cold, for instance, what do you do when it's like 20 below zero? Wear more stuff. But here, when it's 95 degrees, you just take water, go indoors, maybe take a dip if you have a pool, and then, you know, do it again.
Yeah.
For me, it's just easier to live this way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I enjoy Florida.
It is a lot. It's really nice.
Talking about truck drivers, my family's truck drivers. My uncle was on a load through Miami during the summer. This is years ago. But during the summer, his truck didn't have AC, so he just went boxers down the interstate.
Well,
yes.
You won't believe this. We won't get personal here, but truck drivers normally, that's what they do. They even in wintertime, because instead of stopping at a truck stop, if you just have to do number one, then they just keep
like
going,
a bottle or something,
and they'll have a bottle and they'll keep going for, you know, 100, 200, 300 miles. And sometimes, you know, it's just more. It's easier just to stop and go, you know, to a rest area go to the bathroom. But there's truck drivers that they think, well, I got to be a man. 800 miles today? Let's go. I'm not going to stop. So that's called stupidity. But, you know, that's just me. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's why we have e-logs now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they got to stop.
But, hey, we also got to stay hydrated.
Oh, hi to who?
Hydrated.
Oh, yes.
He's very pretty.
That talking thing. My throat.
We had to do shots, so that's what we're doing, but it's a water shot.
And this is petrified water again?
Petrified water. Yeah, that's right.
It's not my favorite, but, you know.
Hey, it's good stuff, though.
It's, let's try it.
All right, so this is a sober episode.
Yeah.
This is the first time all three of us.
Before.
Both of us have been sober as well.
Yeah.
What?
I might get some Bailey's in a minute for my coffee, but
Bailey's Irish cream?
No. Yeah, I've got some in the fridge. I might get some. No, but anyway, so
I almost made a little
sober
Irish.
Episode.
I thought about it.
Is that something you want to speak to, Lou? Is that a conversation you want to spend 5 minutes on?
You mean being sober?
As sober, far as like not alcohol, drinking on the Christian life.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know, as far as it probably has very little to do with Christianity, but it also has to do with Christianity at the same time, because. Mm-hmm. I'll drink a beer. I'm not a complete sober, sober person as far as drinking.
You're not a straight edge.
That's the wrong word, sober. But it has so many meanings.
As far as alcohol, you're sober.
As far as alcohol. All right. So no, I'll drink a beer every now and again. For instance, if I'm home. Whenever I'm home, let's say for 2 days, and let's say my wife buys beer. This last time I was home, she bought beer that she didn't like. There was 4 bottles left. So I was there for 2 days. I drank all the bottles, but I was at home, and these are semi-small bottles. And that's the last time I had beer was then, and that was about a month ago. So when I go home again, even if I have, if my wife buys beer, and she doesn't buy beer all the time, we don't have alcohol in different places, then I'm not into anything that's like hard liquor, you know,
like whiskey or bourbon.
Bourbon, scotch.
Yeah.
I'll drink it, but it may be once or twice a year. Hmm. It'll be one shot. So I'm not sure if that's maybe sober. I don't know. But
I think as far as most people go, I'd be like, it's pretty, it's pretty much like, yeah,
that's
you don't
sober.
Drink.
I don't drink. I don't drink. Yeah. I don't do a Coke, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola.
Yeah, yeah.
Soft drinks as much, but I still do it. I'm trying to get into the water and no juices either.
So you taste the different notes of each water. You'd be like, that one tastes like the Southern Mountain.
No, I know with one of my daughters, Kayla, she suggested I drink spring water.
Mm.
And compared to purified water or...
Because those have more minerals and stuff in them, don't they?
Yeah, they're supposed to be better for
you. That's what they say, yeah.
Or they're supposed to lack all the fake stuff that's, you know, they put in water to make it sweet, to make it more expensive. So why even buy it?
Just funny, it's like, why would I want sugar in my water?
Mm-hmm. Same with coffee. I drink...
My ingredients should be water.
Water... Period.
You're done.
All done.
Very easy label.
What's in your water? Water.
I hope it's just water.
What color is that? That's not white, is it? It's kind of like a bluish color. What is that?
So, but it's funny, I guess, to add to that on our side of it, I don't know if Trey, maybe if he's changed his habits up, but like we really don't drink that much all the time either. Like I really don't drink that much outside of the podcast. I might like, if someone's over, I'll have like a beer or like make a mixed drink. Mm. But last weekend we had people in town and they were on vacation mode for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I was on half vacation mode and I was making them drinks and stuff. I was like, this is a lot of fun. But I was like, my body was feeling it.
Hey, that's...
So, is great that we're doing like a more sober episode. And I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm trying to be. I'm like, I love the idea of coffee, but I'm still getting used to the idea of drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, this will be fun.
What Trey said, you asked why am I guess, sober, the drinking part with the Christianity thing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Andy's wedding. Where I met a lot of the Yulee family brothers, mm-hmm. and at least two of them were, at least one of them, I should say, admitted that, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, and he was trying to apologize to me for drinking too much, and my first response was, well, this is the wedding, and you're here, you're feeling pretty safe, I know you're feeling pretty good. Maybe that's something you do on a regular basis. I don't know. He says, no, I don't do it all the time. But today, it's a special day. And I said, there you go. It's a mm-hmm. special day. And if you're feeling good, that's great. Don't forget, you know, there's people that can help you go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy's a Christian. And he's feeling pretty good. Well,
It makes me think of, like, you know, when Jesus turned the water into wine in John 2
right.
for a wedding.
Right.
I mean, that culturally, you were actually expected to indulge. Like, they didn't drink all mm-hmm. the time, mm-hmm. but during festivals and weddings and ceremonies, mm-hmm. man, they went all in. So.
Yes, especially, it's a day, like you said. It's a special day,
not
a special month.
And no one's driving home. All those people live in that community. So they're, feeling kind of different.
It takes them a little longer to get home than normal.
Right? But someone was helping them.
Yeah.
I mean, those days, it was, you know, people were celebrating, and some guys were not celebrating as much because it wasn't their thing. But those are the guys, like the children maybe, would take their dad home or something. So it was safer in those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. But hey, we're drinking Hillcrest today.
Oh.
We got your request, Dark Roast.
Thank you. That's called Hillcrest? Is that a...
That's the name of the coffee shop.
Oh.
So it was funny. So I walked in because I really don't know much about coffee.
All right.
So I was like, all right, I want 2 cups of coffee. And I'm like, okay, what do you want? I was like, well, that's a great question. All I know is dark roast. And I was like, and it doesn't matter which country it's from. He's like, okay. So I have no idea where it's from. So maybe you can, you know, with your exquisite palate.
Oh, exquisite. Don't give me so many compliments. I'm normal. Remember, I'm normal.
That's fair.
I'm like everybody else.
With your below average palate, maybe you could...
That's so much better.
Maybe you could say like, huh, it doesn't taste like water.
You know, as long as you don't compliment me all the time, I'm feeling good. Okay, here we go.
You know how badly I wanted to say something nice? It's like, think of something quick, Paul.
No. So I you know what I like is... The reason why I like, first of all, I drink dark coffee. I mean, black coffee. There's no additives or anything like that. No sugar.
That's what this is.
Oh, there you go.
I went the same as you. I got to do the same as the guest.
Okay, thanks. You're so brave.
I know. We'll see.
Brave heart. So,
I got a lot of hearts.
I like Indian coffee. I like African coffee. almost all the African coffees that Stark grows, it's really, really strong. And there's a thing called Sumatra, which is Indian coffee, and that's strong, but it has it goes down smooth. It's hard. I guess it's easy to explain. It's a strong coffee, and it's like African coffee, but when you drink it, it's a smooth feel compared to African coffee, which is strong. You know, just you're thinking, should I have added milk to this? This is so strong. Whoa! But no. But so you can, you know what you do is you go through, like in this case, you go to this place that is probably different from Starbucks. Yeah. Starbucks different from other.
I like to support local. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a place that, you know, in my case, being a truck driver, if I get a chance to stop somewhere like a small city and they have, I don't know, something called Grounds for Support or something, coffee, right? I'll go there. And this whole place looks like that's where they make their coffee. Mm. Whoa. You know, like they roast everything right there. And there's metal everywhere, wood. It looks like something you've never seen before. And you taste their coffee and you think, it's only $4. What about $5? This is worth $5. Yeah. It's so you have to.
That's cool.
It's got to be black. And when it's when you taste it, you know, in my case, when I taste that, something like that, I'm thinking, I don't want to go back every month. I want to go back maybe once a year so I can
keep it a special occasion.
Same, yeah. That flavor.
That's cool. I'm excited to hear what you think about this.
Oh, so am I drinking this?
Yeah. That's for you. That's yours. Oh. Cheers.
Cheers.
We got to cheers it still. Cheers the trick.
Right on. This is, it goes down smooth.
Yeah.
But it's not as strong as African coffee. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what roast it, you know, what kind of roast it is. But maybe
dark.
but the beans could be Arabica.
Oh, sure.
Is it Arabica? I don't know how to pronounce that.
I have no idea.
But almost all the coffees have Arabica beans in them.
Hmm.
But when it... Arabica. Thank you. Well, I think what makes it different is that they have those beans in Sumatra coffee, but the Sumatra coffee has the Indian beans also, and they just roast them together, and so it makes it into that Sumatra flavor compared to, I don't know, just regular black roast, dark roast from America or whatever.
Okay.
I'm just guessing because I don't know. I'm just, you know,
spitballing. How do you rate this? How do you rate this cup of coffee?
I like it.
Cool.
Because
I have no frame of reference.
Out of 5 stars, I gave it a 5.
Oh, nice.
And this may not be the best coffee in the world, but for me, it's a 5. So it's good.
It's the best one you're drinking.
I would do
right
it
now,
again.
Right?
That's it. I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, that's it.
That's cool.
No, it's dark roast is dark roast for me. So, like, I'm sure if Annie was drinking coffee, whatever brand it was, if she adds her milk and her all that stuff that most people do, then that's good coffee.
That's cool.
I'm thinking.
You know, I like that approach. I think we actually had a similar conversation about music. As well, which
my favorite subject, by the way.
I know, that's why I brought it up. One of mine too.
What about you, Trey?
Do you enjoy listening
to
music?
Trey should be a musician.
Right?
I like music. I'm not good at it. I like it.
Oh, can you dance?
No.
You can't sing.
You didn't see him at the wedding?
Oh.
Yes, that was excellent. I had no idea you were that good. I wish I would have taken a video.
I think there's some around somewhere we could find little Patreon exclusive content there.
I pushed that one down.
We can call that the hanging tree dance.
You're right.
Ow. Come on, Trey. Come on.
So the one thing, I don't know if you went through something similar with this, but I know I, with music for me, I went through a point when I was younger that I was very like pretentious about the music I listened to.
Pretentious?
Yeah, where it's like, well, it's not this person or like not this style of music, so obviously it's not that good. And that was kind of an attitude I had toward it. Especially toward like pop music, like very, you know, the modern popular artists and stuff. I was like, they suck because everyone likes them and their music's not good. You know, they're not this person. And it's like, and it's like, even if there was any merit to that, now I'm kind of in a place where it's like everyone has something to offer and some people like it, some people don't. But whatever an offer is, it's like they're trying to express themselves that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is more popular for a lot of people. Some of it's very, very niche. But it's like everyone creates music and it's good in its own way.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. And then in my case, I like change.
Yeah.
So jazz is a perfect type of music for me. But I also don't like I'll rephrase that. I enjoy listening to a trio, piano, drum, maybe mm-hmm. a saxophone or piano, drum, and bass player, especially stand-up bass, the double bass.
Oh, yeah.
And so compared to electric bass, which is, I guess I'm old school, possibly. But
I like the slap bass. That's always fun.
but my favorite thing is, the reason why I like change is because I grew up with, my old man played, they call it salsa today, but in those days, it was whatever rhythm that so-called salsa music was. So they had a thing called guabanco, which is lots of traditional African religious rhythm. They had a thing called guaracha, where you play a gourd, one of those, or maracas, and so that makes it a guaracha. it's like, cockroach or something. Oh, so there's there's a bolero, which means ballad. So it's a slow love song, romantic song. And after you've, let's say there's 40 different bands, and if they all sound alike, then, why listen to 40 different bands?
Yeah.
So my favorite thing about music is that it keeps changing. I just don't like that in some cases it changes to where you don't understand what the guy is saying. Or that now you have electronic machines instead of a great saxophone player. Or who would not want to listen to Miles Davis?
Right.
Or the great saxophone players of art. Wynton Marsalis, another great trumpet player.
I've been thinking like Victor Wooten, who's one of my favorite bass players.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's great, yeah.
So that's live, and people want. That's why the machines didn't work. The synthesizers of the 70s or the 80s, I think. It was fine, but he needed that super-duper monster musician who can do whatever he can on a drum kit or if he's missing a key on his saxophone, he can put his finger in that hole and make it sound just like he wasn't missing anything. Whoa!
it's kind of funny too, because right now, more out of necessity, the music I've been writing and producing, it's more like electronic based, just because it's like, I don't have a drum set that I can record with, so it's like I have to use electronic stuff. But what makes me laugh about it is I spent all this time like writing the drum beat, I put it all together, and then I spend more time making it sound like a person.
What?
Because it's like, okay, it's too perfect. So I need to like very strategically go in and like move each note so it's a little off beat.
Oh, I
need to add some kind of.
It's a machine. You're working on a machine.
Exactly.
Okay,
I need to add like saturation so it sounds dirty and a little muddy. I need to add some room noise to it. And it's like all this to make it kind of sound like a person's playing it. So it's kind of funny to hear. It's like, we still desire that human element to music, because that's part of what makes it good.
Yeah. In my case, I know no one believes this, but I became a musician after I was born again, right? So God is saying, you're okay kind of a guy. You went to the right church. You met the right, woman to be your wife. So at this church, they're looking for a percussionist, and you are that guy. And I had no idea that I was going to be on stage for, 20 some odd years? But the way it works is that, first of all, I like music. And yes, my sister bought me a set of bongos, which I didn't know how to play. But, I had the timing and the rhythm for it. I just didn't play them very well. But I put them on the side. So, it's like having a guitar that you mess around with. That's how it was. So then one day you come to this church, and they're looking for administrators, and everybody wants to be in the administrative, field. So I thought 50 people is enough. They won't select me. I can only type. But they're looking for musicians. Percussionists. And the percussionist I was on the worship team left. Not to mention, I learned that he was not very good. Everything was loud. He played a conga very loud all the time, loud. And so I'm thinking, that's not a conga player. When you know a little bit about percussion, you know, growing up listening to that kind of music. So I said, you know, I can play tambourine. And I said, okay, good. Come back Wednesday. So the bottom line was, I had no idea. I didn't read music. No, nothing to do with being part of a band. So to make it a long story short, that same Wednesday, they wanted me to show up on Sunday. So that's because I did this bongo solo, which the bass player, who was a bluegrass professional player.
Yeah,
he knew all sorts of big time names. He was on our worship team. He says, "I've never seen anyone play bongos like that before." The first thing I thought of was, it was negative. You know, like, he wasn't trying to give me a compliment, but everybody else said the same thing. Well, you know. Two more people said the same thing. That's pretty good. I'm thinking, they don't understand. I'm in the right place.
This is perfect.
Eureka. So, yeah, then I was part of the team for 21 years.
I want to bring this up, too, because I'm sure some people, I forgot to introduce the topic in the beginning, because we've had so much fun going into this. But honestly, this is the topic. You're like, what's happening here? So this is, I know I read this to you earlier, and I'm gonna restate it. So this is a quote I just heard today, actually. I paused the phrase because I heard it on a podcast, and I was too lazy to go back and listen to it again and write it down. So I was like, I'm just gonna remember it. So this is from N.T. Wright. It was a podcast that he was on talking about the gospel, and one of the things that he's like, question people ask me a lot of times about words. He's like, well, what's your favorite book? And he says, the concordance in the back of the Bible.
Yeah, it's
and so
strange.
It's like it's a weird go-to. Yeah, and so what he says with that, he's like, what's great is you get this view into this world that we don't have any much context around. So it's like we can read a word in English, but then he's like, what does it actually mean to those people? And a concordance can help you go into that. But he said, but in and of itself, it's not good enough. You need that word inside the narrative, inside the context. How is it used? We joked earlier about the word bad, where it's like, oh, you can read it and be like, oh, the way you said it, Paul's a bad man. You know? But then it's like, yeah, but let's look at the context of how he said that. And it's,
right.
Paul's a bad man.
You know, it's like,
yeah, it's like that means the complete opposite now. It means something totally different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's like when you look at the word in and of itself, it can give you a view into everything, but it needs the narrative to give it life and really add the meaning to it in a lot of ways. And so I put that in the same category as looking at a person's life. You know, you can't just judge someone based on one particular moment and say, I've got this person figured out. It's like, what's the narrative of their life? Mm-hmm. You know, I thought about even for myself, it's like, if I was to base my life on a few defining moments, my life would be very different. It's like, but it's the narrative. It's the struggle, the journey. We like talking about Job here. You know? Mm-hmm. It's the journey of like, okay, so here was this moment that happened. Now what happens now? What happens next? What's the narrative of your life? And so you've been telling a lot of stories, which we love here, which is great. And that's part of what it is. Like, that's the narrative. That's the experience. That's what you have to offer, which is, you know, amazing.
That's too complimentary again.
I know that was too much. Honestly, I despise every minute of this episode. I can't wait until it's over. I'm counting down the minutes.
You're such an easy guy. Have you thought of seeing a psychiatrist, changing your ways?
Yeah, you told me to go home. Well,
I'm so
yeah,
confused.
Trey, you had a question you wanted to ask in particular. I know you were excited for.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I wanted is just to get him on here and just to hear some stories, because I think
it's
anybody
so
benefits from sitting in on.
Yeah,
I'm just listening to the man talk.
Stories. I don't.
But anyways, no, I think
storytelling,
you know,
machine. That's what I said.
Lou has more life experience than we do.
Yeah,
he's navigated more things than we have, and I thought it would be great. I think it's, I mean, it's a great practice for people our age to look to those who have gone before us. Anyways,
amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So here's Lou.
Yeah.
He's got some life experience. What would he tell us? What would he say? What advice would he give us?
Can I take this one?
For young, yeah.
I can answer for you. Keeping it Lou. That's what he's...
Keep it Lou. Just keep it Lou.
Just keep it Lou.
Be like me.
No, go for it.
I think this is nothing to do with Christianity, and it also has to do with Christianity at the same time, because I'm a Christian. We're the people here are all Christian, and I'm also talking about people that are Muslim, that are what's the other one? Folks that knock on your door,
Jehovah's Witnesses,
the other so-called Christian sects, and the other religious groups.
The different denominations, I guess, to throw it in.
Yeah, denominations. All right, but also, you know, the way I look at it is, when I was your age, I didn't have someone that I could listen to when it came to life, generally speaking. And then, which is really strange, I get older now. People are listening to me, but then. But not when I was younger, and yet I had the same. I shouldn't say the same. Similar ideas about. I never went along with the tide. Mm. You know, people would say everything's blue. I would say everything's kind of dark blue, reddish blue. It wasn't completely blue. Going back to Trey, what would you say to young people? I think it all depends on that young person. So you guys are listening, and I'm thinking that I'm teaching you something, whatever that is. I don't know what you're going to learn from all this, but maybe one of the things that I've learned is I'm enthusiastic about dumb stuff. You know, I like saying funny things. I like to keep in shape, not because I want to look a certain way, but that's a plus. That's because you want to be healthy. You want to be as healthy as you can if you're going to do physical labor, and that's, you don't know when that's going to happen. What if, you know, you don't work out, and then someone says, "Hey, let's help Joe Schmo move the furniture," and that thing weighs 300 pounds. Okay, great. So what happens to your back? So in other words, you want to keep healthy. Not because God says so. That's the reason why you want to do it. That's a commandment. But you want to do it because it's the right thing to do. This is, you've got a physical world, so you have to be physical sometimes. Mm-hmm. All right, getting back to the question again.
Boy. You never left it. You never left the question. Okay. You're doing great.
So I'm always still thinking about the Japanese. The young people respect the elders. They don't call them anything but elders, older people, my dad, my uncles, whoever they are. They sometimes bow to people that are 20 or 30 years older. These are not everybody, but people that they know, younger people. And they listen to what they have to say. Whether they're acting, it doesn't matter. There's that respect. And my thoughts are, if you become let's say you're acting about respecting someone and you do it on a regular basis, that's something positive, and it's going to affect you, and you'll stop the acting part, and you'll realize that really helps. I wanted to learn something about that individual. What is he saying? Is he saying something that's going to be important for me, my relationships, my the way I think about bettering myself? It's not about college or trade school. It's about what's success for you?
Yeah.
So if you're going to be successful, how's that going to work for you? What are you going to do? And then something I just learned the other day, successful people, they stay on that one thing. Mm-hmm. So you invented, I don't know, paper clips, and you want to be successful. So how do you make that paper clip better each and every time you look at it? Okay, well, that's how there's.
Yeah,
someone invented a paper clip and they became zillionaires.
Yeah.
And then someone added plastic to it, and then someone
like, what if it made it a little bigger? Yeah.
Bigger, and then they have these giants.
And then one guy traded a red paper clip for a house. I don't know if you saw that story.
No,
he was like a trading thing. He like started with a red paper clip, and he traded up until the point he got to a house.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And it happens today. You see those shows on TV where people want to sell something. They invented something, whatever it is, food or a different way of making sushi. And then out of nowhere, those guys, you know, they're trying to convince. They're not the ones that are will make them rich. It's those people that are listening to the show.
Yeah.
And it's the not all the time, but some guys listening who's in Japan, and he has a sushi shop for forever, and he listens to this and he says, wait a minute, I don't speak English, but I think I want those people over here. Mm. Kaboom. I don't know. Am I done? I don't know.
All right, let's go over some of the things you said.
Okay. Because
this is what I've learned just by watching you.
All right.
And then listening to your stories, which is why it's like, you could just come on here and talk about whatever. We're still going to learn something. Mm-hmm. One, because I think you're just an extremely insightful guy, but two, because I think everybody bears the image of God can teach us something about God. Mm. So. And mm-hmm. humanity and the way to live. So I guess I've heard you say you're the kind of man that swims against the tide. And that's something I respect about you, given our difference in political beliefs. Mm-hmm. You come from you live in a blue state. You've lived in a couple of blue states, mm-hmm. and you go red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
ultra
a red state, man.
By the way.
Yeah, very conservative. I know, Lou. I know.
I'll make it so clear. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Trey.
So, and then I feel like in that way we've got our similarities in the opposite respect. I come from my red states, and I go extremely blue.
Okay. So this Kayla, my daughter. So there you go, and she's still alive.
Anyways,
no one killed her. Good. Yeah. Good. I interrupted you again.
No, you really didn't. That's all I had to say about that. But that is something I respect about you.
If I could, just kind of ringing us down a little bit, because we're getting close on time here, which is crazy. It goes too fast.
I've been here for 5 minutes, right?
It's been 5 minutes.
Yeah. 7 minutes, 8 minutes.
Honestly, it feels like
longer.
5 minutes.
It feels like
10 minutes.
Oh,
man. We've been doing a bad job.
I'm perspiring.
You've been the one talking the most, too. So
I'm
you've been boring
same.
Yourself.
I should be teaching you guys. That's why I have to talk so much. That's what I heard.
We come in here to give you a few words, but
with that forefinger.
That's
right. Like my mama.
Just flicking the ear, right?
That's another great topic. Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, if I could. So I think just kind of bringing us down, Trey, you asked, you know, what are my closing thoughts or my kind of from our conversation. And it's really a lot of what Trey said, too. But on top of that, I love just the curiosity you have toward life. And I think that's something that we can all learn, and we should be, I guess, very eager to be excited about, is just like, yeah, look at opportunities, look at the thing, look at the, like you said, the dumb things that you're interested in, and get excited about those things, mm-hmm. get curious about them. But I think on top of that, even, you know, we talked, I was talking a little bit about just people's lives. It's like people have something to offer. Some people have more to offer than other people, for mm-hmm. sure. But everyone has something to offer. And mm-hmm. I think we should point less fingers, and we should start asking more questions.
Yeah.
I think that's, mm-hmm. and that's what I love about what you bring to the table is you've asked questions, you got excited, and you're like, oh, you know, a little bit of that contrarian as well. Someone's like, hey, the water is blue. You're like, eh, maybe.
What
and I think,
is in it?
Yeah. And I think that's great. I think that's something that, you know, it was something that I learned just in that process of growing up a little bit. I'm just a big kid now. I can wear adult
now.
Pants. That's the difference.
With Winnie the Pooh undies?
Yeah, that's true. We said we wouldn't talk about that.
Oh, boy.
But that's the one thing that that I definitely learned was realizing that my parents don't have it all figured out.
Right. I agree with
but
that.
But that didn't give me liberty to say I have it figured out, because I realized I know less than they did.
and even if my... If your mom, in my case, she had a fifth grade education. My father was a high school graduate. Mm. I definitely, talking to other people, I definitely knew they didn't have all the answers. I got that. But I respected them as mom and dad.
Yeah.
As humans. You don't, you know, go out and say, you know, mom, foul language, blah, 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 get out of my... No, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Even though... It wasn't the best of times. That's not up to me.
Yeah.
You just do the best you can with what you have. And then you learn what your mom and dad teach you whatever that is.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, how to be a better person. You've got a roof over your head. All the positives that mom and dad bring, right? And then you learn whatever education you have to learn from your teachers, from your anyone but your buddies. No, they're not good teachers.
They're more practical application.
You learn your lessons from your friends from what they do wrong.
That's a good way.
What my friends' families used to say about me.
Those buddies. Yeah. Once you learn what they did wrong, they're not going to change. You change.
Yeah.
You go away.
The whole thing, like, oh, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you follow? It's like, Mom, I'm the one leading the pack. Like, it was my idea to jump off the bridge.
Who built that bridge? Well, you know, me.
But I think that's the one thing that I will say, and here's a word I'm going to introduce at the end of this conversation. But it's something I've talked to my friends about. I know we talked a little bit earlier about it, too. It's the idea of the word sage. And I know I asked the question, I've talked to my brother about this as well and some other friends. It's like, where did the sages go? And I think it's like they're here. We don't want to listen.
Exactly.
And on top of that, too, it's like we talked about the word elder as well. And we see that, especially in a church hierarchy, we have the word elder, you know, very fundamental to that. And I think there are people, like we said, that have more to offer than other people. Some people are very good at imparting wisdom on other people, or really good advice. That's very palatable and like makes sense. Other people aren't as good at it, but it doesn't mean they don't have anything to offer.
True.
And I think that's where it comes to us. For me, I think part of becoming an adult is recognizing that the adults don't know what they're doing either. Like, we're all here just figuring it out. The only difference is they've had more time to figure it out than we have. And I think that's where I kind of want to walk away with this is like, you know, who are the sages in your life? Who are those people that you can go to and ask them questions and learn and listen, whether you agree with it or not, listen to what do they have to offer, having more experience, having more time to figure it out than you have. And I think that's something that I want to encourage other people. I encourage myself as well to get curious about. Get curious, ask the question, like, who are those people I can go to and ask them these questions and learn from what they've experienced in the world?
It starts with you wanting, a young person wanting to know that I have something that I need to learn, which is just about everything.
Yeah.
You know, everything about life. So where do you go to? And unfortunately, today, young people are saying, well, I'm 21 years old. I'm 31. I'm whatever age that person is.
Honestly, I knew the most when I was like 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
I knew everything. I lost all that knowledge. So it went somewhere.
I met a 10-year-old girl who knew everything. So it all depends what.
And right now she's producing this podcast, right?
So the bottom line is, do you want to learn? The other thing is, are you going to learn from the right people?
Yeah.
And is that right person there?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, you know, being the sensei, right?
Right.
Like karate or martial arts. We're talking about a guy that you see every now and again, and you may think that, you know, he could be a Christian guy. He went to the church, and I could be, you know, he could have some insight for about three or four minutes, and I won't see him for another year. And if young people thought that older people, and I'm referring to even 10 years older than that person, they have something to say. But the bottom line is, I think in my case, I started thinking this way, where I'm now older. People look at me as an older person. I think when I was in my 60s, because...
And I just learned that you weren't 55 earlier today.
I know. You call it a sage? I don't consider myself a sage or even someone that's really bright or intelligent. But that's me, because I'm always challenging myself. I'm looking for something else that I can learn. So I guess it's never ending. Like exercise. You know, is my stomach still round? I need more exercise. you can never be satisfied if you're going to be into health. So you can never be satisfied with learning more about the Bible, God, people, yourself.
Yeah. I think that's a great place to be with it too. It's like, you're never going to learn everything.
No, so ever.
You got your work cut out.
It's a long journey.
But on top of that too, I will say, for you and for other people listening is like, I think as someone who's interested and eager to learn from people that have lived a little longer than I have, it's like, I'm not looking for, you know, this massive teaching moment where I sit and, you know, think like, I'll never forget this moment. Or like right. The music's playing and, you know, I just nailed all these nails with one hit and Mr. Miyagi walks out, you know, through waxing a car. You know, it's like those moments can happen, but I think that, you know, we can't manufacture those things. And it's gotta be overall natural. For me, it's like, for me as someone who's eager and I want to learn, it's like, I just want to hear. It's like for like this whole episode, it's like if you have stories to tell, which you got tons of stories to tell, and I love hearing them. It's like, I know we all love hearing them. And I think that for me, like that's what I want as someone, you know, who's seeking to find these sages, these people.
But what about me? You guys forget that I'm also learning.
It's all about me. It's all about me.
I'm a... what is it? Vain, self-centered, righteous. You name all the good things. That's who I am. No, but I'm learning something about Trey. I thought Trey was, all this time I thought Trey was from what I learned from Annie and listening to podcasts. I thought Trey was Mr. Serious. Oh, how serious? Something funny, and Trey says, oh, that's really funny. Okay. Instead of laughing.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll probably even text you, that was really funny. Okay.
And you're like, and Paul's always on laughing gas. He just came from the dentist every episode.
And then listening to the Tipsy Theologian.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Tipsy Theology.
All I hear is, you know, a one statement laugh, one statement laugh. That's Paul. But it's because I'm probably emphasizing your laugh compared to what you're saying. Mm. So I think this has taught me something. You don't laugh as much. Maybe it's because I'm here. I don't know. But but at the same time, you do. At the same, you're still
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing the your words, and laughter is not something I'm hearing. I'm what's your next statement instead of what's your next laughter?
Mm.
So. So being here in front of you makes it different. I can see what you're saying and your facial expressions, but on the radio you can't hear that. So all you hear is sounds, words, and so with Trey, same thing. I'm thinking this guy's smiling, he's laughing. I've got bad jokes, but he's laughing anyway. That's crazy.
Like he never cracked a smile, right? In your head.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah. But this guy's so he can't be under, you know, 30 years old. He's got to be over 30 years old. How did Annie get to know this guy?
How did all the hope and joy escape him so young?
I mean, I can see why he wants to be a pastor.
Anyways, Lou, you have come on and given us some practical wisdom.
Oh, thank you.
You spoke like a true sage. I wanted to say that earlier when you were saying you weren't a sage.
Sage.
Because that's exactly what a sage would say.
I am not a sage, you mean? That's what they would say?
No. You said you weren't a sage. No. And I was like, that's exactly what a sage would say.
Oh, I gotcha. All right.
So, and I like that closing word on resilience. That's what it is, man. Mm. Resilience.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent word. I agree with that. We just, you know, like the sage thing, I don't use that word. I just know that something needs to be done. And so you can't sit at home. Within a few hours, you have to start doing something. So what's more important, you or your family? Okay, what would Jesus say? Now what would Jesus do? What would he say? Because we can't be Jesus, we can't do what he does, but we can, you know, at least say, at least think that this is what he wants. So let's do it. Let's do the JC thing.
Let's do the JC thing.
And on
all
that,
right. Well, I think I think we definitely kept it Lou today.
Oh, we kept it so Lou. Oh.
I feel such a... I'm sorry, go ahead. Nothing else. I'm not going to say anything else because I'll keep talking.
You know, I just wanted to say thank you to you for keeping it, Lou.
Okay.
And keep it, Lou.
All right.
Keep
Paul.
On keeping it, Lou.
And I warned him before we started this. I was like, I'm going to say that more than one time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll give you the backstory another time, but it's great. And thank you to Maximize Digital Media, Annie Yulee, for producing this episode. That's your daughter.
That's my daughter.
She's producing this episode.
Baby, come on. She's one producer.
She's going to listen to what you have to say so many times.
Oh, that's right. And then when I go to my, you know, by the way, I don't believe in dying. I'll probably get lifted. So I won't have a grave to go to. I won't be, I may have to get burned up, you know, the body.
Yeah, that's, well, they're going to see you just start floating. They're like, oh my gosh.
No. This is going to happen at home, so no one's going to be watching anything. Yeah. So after I get lifted up, Annie will be watching this, and she'll say, yeah, not only was he sage, not only did he keep it blue, but he got lifted.
Woo-wee. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening or watching or whatever, however you're doing it. Maybe someone's telling you about it. That's cool, too. But I just want to say thank you and keep it blue.
And support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. That's a new one. Yeah.
Yeah, check that on
Patreon.
https://patreon.com/ Tipsy Theology. And then that's also right. check us out on Instagram.
At @tipsy_theology. Are you still on Spotify?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We're on Spotify, Apple, whatever you're listening to, speaking of sages.
But what's better? Patreon? Is that what you guys prefer?
Patreon's the best.
Okay. We got new Definitely stuff Patreon. We're offering people. We're gonna be doing a weekly devotional. We've got a newsletter we're offering as well. We've got some bonus content. We've got some unreleased episodes we're gonna be putting up there, and just some Patreon exclusive content for those
Very
people.
Cool.
So a lot of fun stuff. So check it out.
That's right.
And Trey, what are we gonna do?
We're gonna catch y'all on the next one.